My name is Austin Wiggins. I'm the preacher for the Vider Church of Christ here in Vider, Texas. Our speaker here tonight is a man that I've known for quite some time. The speaker tonight is Stephen Wiggins. Stephen Wiggins. And so I want to introduce Brother Wiggins here tonight. He's a speaker you've heard before. He is my father. Brother Wiggins tonight will be speaking upon the subject of Christian living. Christian living. And so let us all give a attentive ear to the message that Brother Wiggins is going to bring here tonight. So Brother Wiggins, without any further ado, let's turn it over to you and let the hammer down, brother.
Thank you, Austin. I appreciate the opportunity to be before you tonight and to proclaim the Lord's word to you. And hopefully it will be beneficial and profitable to each of us in every way as we attempt to reflect upon God's divine will together. I am appreciative of the work that Brother Tommy Brooks is doing in this nationwide gospel meeting as people are preaching the word of God throughout not only this nation but throughout the world. Brother Brooks is a wonderful, godly man, and I am so grateful that my son, Austin, is affiliated with him and looks upon him as a great mentor. God bless you, brethren, and continue the work. Tonight, as is announced, I'm going to be speaking on the subject of Christian living. You may remember that the word Christian is found three times upon the pages of the New Testament. In Acts 11 and verse 26, the Bible says that the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Later in Acts 26 and verse number 28, King Agrippa, replied to the Apostle Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Paul was persuading people to obey the gospel and to become Christians. And then later in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 15, the Bible says that we are not to be ashamed, but rather we are to glorify God in the name Christian. So the word Christian, the name Christian, is a designation that we wear. It is composed of nine letters. The first six letters spell the word Christ. The suffix I-A-N, the last three letters, carries the idea of or belonging to. So a Christian is someone who belongs to Christ. He is a disciple. He is a follower of the Master, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it was the disciples that were designated Christians by God himself. Later, Paul persuades people to become Christians. And later in 1 Peter 4 and verse number 16, we learn that the word Christian, the name Christian, is a name that we wear. The people of God wear that particular name. And so when I talk about Christian living, I'm talking about the way that a Christian should live, the expectations and demands that God has upon each and every one of us in living the Christian life on a day-to-day basis. It involves what we think. It involves what we say. It involves what we do. It involves how we treat other people. It involves every aspect of our lives on a day-to-day basis. Living the Christian life is a privilege, but it is also a great responsibility before God. We are obligated to live in such a way that would reflect our relationship with God, His Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are led by the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. We walk by the Spirit. We live by the Spirit. That's the language of Galatians chapter 5, 16, 18, and 25. We live by the Spirit. We walk by the Spirit. We are led by the Spirit. The Christian is to imitate Jesus Christ. Remember that the Apostle Peter stated in 1 Peter 2 and verse number 21 that Christ left us an example that we should follow in his steps. So the Christian is to follow the Master, to be led by the Spirit, to follow the Master, Jesus Christ. We are imitators of Christ. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, "Be ye imitators of me, even as I also am of Christ." So Paul was following the example of Christ. And then he encourages others to imitate him as he imitates Christ. And this is part and parcel of Christian living. Christian living not only involves following the right example, but also setting the right example for others. I want to encourage each and every one of you listeners to be able to say with the Apostle Paul, be ye imitators of me, even as I also am of Christ. Look at your spouse, your wife, your husband, your children, your son, your daughter, your brother, your sister, your coworker, your friend, or a family member, any person that you come in contact with on a daily basis. We as Christians need to be able to look at them and say, you imitate me as I imitate Christ. That's the influence of the New Testament Christian. The Bible says in Ephesians 5 and verse 1 that we are to be imitators of God. So imitating God, imitating Christ, being led by the Holy Spirit, living by the Holy Spirit, this is what is involved in living the Christian life. Now keep in mind that we would never, ever, ever minimize the importance of our initial obedience to the gospel. One must be willing and ready to confess their faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God, who died on the cross of Calvary, was buried, rose the third day, and ultimately ascended back into heaven to serve as our high priest, our mediator, our intercessor, and one who pleads our case before the heavenly throne as our advocate, 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 1. So we confess our faith. We acknowledge our faith in Jesus and what he has done for us. Having repented of our sins, we turn from our sins and thus turn to God seeking forgiveness on his terms. And finally, that culminating act of gospel obedience, we are immersed in the watery grave of baptism to be raised up to walk in newness of life. Having done that, we are born again of water and the Spirit that we may enter the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, having been baptized into Christ, having been baptized into the death of Christ, having been baptized into the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 13. Once we are baptized into the church of Christ, that body, that spiritual body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, now we are set to live the Christian life. We have obeyed the gospel. We've appropriated the blessings of redemption. We've been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. And now we're qualified by our relationship with God, having been baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We are now owned by God, by Christ, and by the Holy Spirit. Paul says on one occasion in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, you were bought with a price. Glorify God, therefore, in your body. Since we were bought, since we were purchased, since we were redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb, now do what? Glorify God, therefore, in your body. That is in reference to Christian living. We would never minimize the initial obedience to the gospel, but that's not what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about Christian living, what we do after we are raised from the watery grave of baptism, to do as Paul says in Romans 6:4, to walk in newness of life. We would never minimize, would we, the importance of the first day of the week worship assembly. The Bible teaches us in Hebrews 10 and verse 25 that we are not to forsake the assembling as the custom or the manner of some is. Never forsake the assembly. Be there to worship God in spirit and in truth with the saints of God and those of like precious faith where a faithful congregation of the Lord's people assembles. Do that each and every Lord's Day. The fact is, we cannot be a faithful Christian without worshiping God in spirit and in truth, and participating and engaging in the acts and avenues of worship that are authorized upon the pages of the New Testament. As we come together and reflect upon God's divine will, as we give of our means, as we partake of the Lord's Supper, commemorating the Lord's death by eating the unleavened bread and drinking the fruit of the vine, as we sing and make melody with the instrument of the heart, singing and teaching and admonishing one another, and singing and making melody, making that music with the human heart as we offer praise unto God. We would never minimize these things. We would never denigrate the importance of worship. You cannot be a faithful Christian without worshiping every Lord's Day. But did you know that there are 168 hours within every week? And for the most part, the faithful Christian spends within the assembly at the most probably 4 or 5 hours each week. If you count Sunday morning Bible study, Sunday morning worship, Sunday night worship, and Wednesday night Bible study, that's only approximately 4 hours within any type of assembled worship. There is another 164 hours within the week that you and I are to be living the Christian life. We worship God in the assembly. We praise Him in the congregation. We do as God instructs us. We have obeyed the gospel. Now we're worshiping God in spirit and in truth. But there's another aspect that is so very important, and that is living the Christian life on a day-to-day basis. Imitating God, Ephesians 5:1. Imitating Christ and following in His footsteps, 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. Being led, walking by, and living by the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5:16, 18, and 25. And that is to be done on a day-to-day basis. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 21, the Apostle Paul says, "For to me to live is Christ." Stop and reflect upon that terminology, if you would, brethren, with me. For to me to live is Christ. I want to be able to say that. I want you to want to be able to say that. I want us all to be able to embrace that great principle. For to me to live is Christ. Paul is talking there about daily Christian living, the type of conduct, the type of behavior, the type of deportment, the way that we treat other people, all that we say, all that we do, all that we think is to be done in harmony with God's divine expectations. Obviously, we are not sinlessly perfect as God's children. And yet at the same time, God has provided adequate provisions for us to be faithful, to walk in the light of God's divine will, that the precious blood of His Son might continue to cleanse us from every sin that we commit. As we humbly acknowledge our shortcomings, as we confess our sins, God is faithful and righteous to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is a sense, there is a biblical sense, in which all of us as God's children feel an unworthiness before the great I Am, before the God, the Creator of the universe, and the Redeemer of mankind. And like the publican prayed in the book of Luke, "Be thou merciful to me, a sinner," we do that. And we rely upon God's grace and mercy and His love and His willingness to forgive us and to purify us and to cleanse us from all sin. And yet at the same time, the Bible teaches us to be dedicated, to be devoted, and to be faithful. On one occasion, our Lord said, recorded by the Apostle John in the book of Revelation, Revelation 2 and verse 10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life." Being faithful has to do with Christian living, being submissive to the divine will. The Bible teaches that we're to be careful about what we think about, what we think about. Think about that, brethren, because you may remember the statement in the book of Philippians. In Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise," watch the language, don't miss it, "think on these things." Notice that terminology. Think on these things. Think on what things? Things that are true, things that are honorable, things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are of good report, virtuous and praiseworthy. Think on these things. That is what the Christian is to do. He is not to think about things that are wicked and ungodly and evil. And if our minds do drift into that, we need to exercise discipline and focusing upon that which is holy, that which is godly, that which is honorable in the sight of God. Not only should we think about the right things, but we should say the right things. You may remember another statement that Jesus makes in Matthew chapter 12 concerning words that we use. He says that, I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. The words that we say on a daily basis will be taken into account on the judgment day. Jesus here says in Matthew 12, 36 and 37, by thy words thou shalt be justified, or by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Do we seek justification, or do we seek condemnation? That will be determined to a large extent by the words that we use on a daily basis. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, I've already referred to that verse where he said that Jesus left us an example that we should follow in his steps. But we often don't go on to quote verse number 22, which says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Have you ever stopped to contemplate and to think about the fact that Jesus never said anything that he should not have said? He never used a word that he had to apologize for. He never used a word that was unacceptable to God. His language was pure. His language was godly. And later, Peter will say in 1 Peter 3 and verse 10, he that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. In regard to what we think, now in regard to what we say. Also, in regard to what we do, that is our actions, our conduct, and our deportment, the way that we conduct ourselves on a daily basis. Now, we may be at work, we may be at school, we may be on the ball field. It doesn't matter where we are. It doesn't matter whoever presence we are in. It may be a family member. It may be a coworker. It may be a friend. It may be somebody that does not appreciate us. Always and without exception, we are to conduct ourselves in a way that would bring praise and honor and glory to God. Let your light so shine before men, that is the community in which you live. Let your light so shine before men that they what? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Always do that which is right. No matter what the circumstances, no matter what the situation, no matter what the occasion, no matter whose presence you're in, always do that which is right. That seems so simplistic, and it is. I taught my boys that when I was rearing them up. Always do that which is right. You may be influenced by others to do wrong. Just say no. Say no to wrongdoing. For the grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation unto all men, teaching us, instructing us to the intent that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live, there's Christian living, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. I'm reading there from Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Say no, deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and rather say yes to living godly, righteous, and upright in this life. Christian living involves what we think, what we say, what we do. It also involves the way in which we treat other people. Think about that. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, and verse number 32, that we ought to be kind one to another. Think about that. The world would be so much a better place if every person would simply put into practice the principle articulated in Ephesians 4:32. I'm reading it here from my Bible. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, even as God also in Christ forgave you. Always treat people with respect. Always treat people with dignity. Always treat people according to the golden rule of Matthew 7 and verse 12. As you would have others to do unto you, so also you do unto them. Whether an individual is black or white or red, or whether he is Asian, Chinese, wherever that person may come from, whatever nation throughout the world, whatever language he may speak, whatever culture he may come from, however he may dress, whatever his accent may be, he is a human being created in the very image of God. That individual possesses a soul, and we are seeking to save their soul. We're seeking to teach them the precious gospel of Jesus Christ, that they might obey it, that they might appropriate the blessings of redemption. You cannot treat someone negatively and at the same time have a positive influence in teaching them the gospel of Jesus Christ. It may be that we're often treated as Christians in a negative way. Be careful how you react. Always act, always react in a way that would be acceptable and pleasing unto God. The Apostle Paul prayed for those who persecuted him. Jesus teaches us, pray for those who persecute you and despitefully use you. As Jesus hung suspended upon the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." They were ignorant, and yet they were crucifying the Son of God. And God graciously, some 50 days later, on the day of Pentecost, offered the forgiveness of sins upon their obedience to the gospel of Christ. And so we always ought to be careful in living the Christian life in regard to what we think, what we say, what we do, and how that we treat other people. I want to be like the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest men that God ever created, one of the greatest evangelists of the gospel, an apostle of Christ. Paul said in Galatians 2 and verse number 20, "I am crucified with Christ." I want to be able to say that with Paul. I want you to be able to say that with the Apostle Paul, that we have been crucified to self, selfishness and self-centeredness. We have put to death the love and practice of sin. We have been crucified. We have been crucified with Christ. Listen to the passage. "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that liveth." Can you say that? Can I say that? Shouldn't all of us be able to say that in our efforts to live the Christian life? "I've been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that liveth." Watch the language. "But Christ liveth in me." There is the concept of Christian living in capsule form. Christ living in me. "I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that liveth, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me." We have been privileged to obey the gospel of Christ through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism into Christ for the remission of sins. We have been privileged, have we not, to be able to assemble with those of like precious faith every Lord's Day to worship God in spirit and in truth. Obedience to the gospel and worship of God is so very important to our relationship with God. But there is a third aspect that we're talking about tonight that I want you to take as seriously as you possibly can, and that is living the Christian life on a day-to-day basis. Sacrificial Christian living. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual service." Our bodies, our lives that God has given us, is to be offered upon the altar of service to God. We are a living sacrifice in which we offer to God, holy and acceptable unto him, for it is our spiritual service to do so. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. It has been a pleasure tonight to be able to speak to you. Hopefully I have offered words of encouragement, of exhortation, and motivation. We love you. We love your soul. We want you to do that which is right. We want you to obey the gospel. We want you to worship God in spirit and in truth. We want you to live the Christian life on a daily basis. And if you're listening tonight and need to reach out to Brother Tommy Brooks or Brother Austin Wiggins or some other brother that is affiliated with this great work, I promise you that they will be more than willing and happy to assist you and to help you, to inform you, to teach you, and to study with you, that you may embrace the Word of God, the will of God, appropriate the blessings of redemption, and receive the salvation that God so freely and abundantly offers. God bless you. May God continue to be with you, and may you respect and reverence God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, and every fiber within your being. God bless.